More money, more problems. That is at least for defensive coordinators across the league. Justin Jefferson just got paid.
Live from the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios.
The man your man could smell.
Theo Dorsey is theoretically speaking.
But are you a different animal and the same beast?
What does that mean, Kobe Bryant?
Streaming live on YouTube, here's Theo Dorsey.
Well, a Duffy's MVP Monday here on Theoretically Speaking. If you're streaming us on YouTube, nice to see you. I'm Theo Dorsey. That's my guy C-Cat over there on the ones and twos. And again, on YouTube, we're at Theo Speaking. And of course, you can get us on your smart speakers. Just say play ESPN 106.3 and you're tapped in with us, Theoretically Speaking, here until 6 o'clock. This is an exciting day. Not just because of the major payday for that bad man out there in Minneapolis, Minnesota, but also, I mean, we're coming off of an amazing sports weekend. We got the Florida Panthers punching their ticket to the Stanley Cup Finals for the second straight year, right? That's huge. That's huge. That's a big deal for the Florida Panthers. Game one going to be in Sunrise. That's going to be Saturday. And also another tip right here, if you're locked in, Theoretically Speaking, likely going to be coming to you live from Game 1 of the Stanley Cup Finals. That's going to be the Edmonton Oilers visiting the Florida Panthers. Can't wait for that. Mm-hmm. Can't wait to talk more puck. The Panthers, C-Cat, can you remind me their record when Theoretically Speaking is in the house at Amerit Bank Arena?
Undefeated.
Undefeated. We won't tell you how many, but we will tell you they've never lost with us there, and there's been at least one show. So that's good juju for the Panthers for game one of the Stanley Cup Final. And also, of course, it's a Duffy's MVP Monday, so throughout the show we'll be giving you our candidates for who won MVP of the weekend. As I always say, the MVP chants, it's the most resounding and the most positive sound in all of sports when you're standing at a free throw line and you have that crowd roaring, pouring onto you those MVP chants. We're going to give out our MVP candidates from the weekend. Who shined, who made the biggest headlines, and who provided the greatest output through the sports weekend. That's what the Duffy's MVP is all about on a Duffy's MVP Monday here on Theoretically Speaking. And if there's one person that really needs to be considered, it's whoever the hell is the agent for Justin Jefferson after what just went down in Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Broke ass.
C-Cat, today, a day like today is fun because, you know, I used to be a, you know, buttoned up TV sports anchor guy, right? For the past 8 or 9 years,
yep.
I would have to deliver the news in a much different way. So I'll give you the news here. Just a headline off the top. Justin Jefferson, 4 years, $140 million, an extension with the Minnesota Vikings. That is $110 million guaranteed. That's $89 million in his pocket at the day of the signing. And beyond that, this makes him the highest paid non-quarterback in NFL history when you go average per year, $35 million per year on a guy that is widely considered the greatest wide receiver in football right now. Well-deserved, well-earned. Justin Jefferson really putting the commas into the bank account today. Congratulations to him. But the funny thing is, you know, back when I was on TV, it would be more like you just have to sit there and you go, Justin Jefferson today agreeing to a contract extension with the Minnesota Vikings. He becomes the highest paid player in NFL history that's not a quarterback. $35 million a year, 4 years, $140 million, and now the Vikings secure the face of their franchise to go along with their rookie quarterback, J.J. McCarthy. Right? That's a little boring. But here, now that we have Theoretically Speaking, and I'm big sports talk radio guy, I get to say things like this. Can you imagine what it is like right now in Minneapolis? You now have Anthony Edwards and Justin Jefferson in that same city being stars at the same dang time. How incredible is that? I can't think of right now in all of sports, in any sports major city, one city that has two more magnetic, young, bright stars with futures than right now in Minneapolis. I mean, I'm sure you could find some in LA. You could find some in New York. But outside of those kind of markets that have like 20 different teams, To have Anthony Edwards and Justin Jefferson at the same time is kind of similar to back when there was the Kevin Garnett, Randy Moss years in Minneapolis. So a little bit of reflecting, a little nostalgia in out there in Minnesota and the Twin Cities, and also looking forward for the Vikings and for the Timberwolves. I mean, you have your guys. You have folks that are going to pack the stadiums, pack the arenas, and also be magnificently impactful players for your team. So it raises the question, though, today. With Justin Jefferson securing this contract, he gets $1 million more per year than what Nick Bosa had, which was previously the highest paid non-quarterback in NFL history. So he becomes now the guy that can hold that crown as a guy that's not, you know, middle management is kind of what QBs are. They're not really players like the rest of the NFL guys. They're the guys in the locker room that can help dictate trades like NBA franchise players, superstars like that. So he can be that guy. I think it does raise the debate, though, because for me, the wide receiver position has now separated itself from the pack in the NFL as the second most important position in sports. We talk about how quarterback is the most important position in team sports, regardless of football or anything else, the way that those guys get treated, the way they get paid, and the way they get protected by the rules. It's easy to say the quarterback is. For the past 3 or 4 years in the NFL, we've had somewhat of a battle for what is the second most prioritized, second most premium position in football. I mean, for a while it was edge rusher. There was a time when cornerback had its stronghold on that claim. And then also left tackle, protecting the blind side, has always been a mainstay when you talk about that second most important position. But now, after 7 wide receivers go early in the 2024 NFL draft in the first round, which was a record, and after Amon-Ra St. Brown gets $30 million a year, Jalen Waddle, as a number 2 wide receiver with the Miami Dolphins, gets over $28 million a year, while Tyreek Hill's already getting 30 for the Dolphins. And now you have this $35 million a year to Justin Jefferson at wide receiver, resetting the market and setting a record in the NFL. It's clear to me that wide receiver is the clear-cut number 2 position when it comes to value and prioritization by NFL general managers. And Justin Jefferson is the clear-cut best non-quarterback in the NFL. And that's where we tip things off. Who do you think is the best non-quarterback in the NFL today? Justin Jefferson just got paid like he is. I ask you if you have a better solution. You can ask on a running back, right? Christian McCaffrey is one of those that I keep getting on social media as a guy that can actually move the needle when it comes to winning more than a guy like Justin Jefferson, in someone's opinion. Maybe you think it's an edge rusher. Maybe you do think you're with the old guard and you think it's a left tackle. But who is the best non-quarterback in the NFL today, and how is it not Justin Jefferson? 888-760-3776. 888-760-3776. That's the number to call in on the Baptist Health Hotline. Are you experiencing foot and ankle pain and need to see an expert in the field? Baptist Health Orthopedic Care has a team of foot and ankle orthopedic surgeons and specialists who are regarded as leaders in their specialty. Visit baptisthealth.net/ortho to learn more today. Baptist Health Orthopedic Care combines its resources of experienced physicians and leading-edge treatments and technology to provide advanced orthopedic, foot and ankle, joint replacement, spine, and sports medicine care. Visit baptisthealth.net/ortho for more information today. Baptist Health Orthopedic Care has offices conveniently located in Palm Beach County through the Florida Keys. Learn more by visiting baptisthealth.net/ortho. Who is the best non-quarterback in the NFL, and how is it not Justin Jefferson, who, through 4 years in his career, has amassed 5,899 yards, which is 400 more than anyone else in NFL history in that same span? Justin Jefferson has separated himself from the pack. He is 24 years old, and he's not just an electrifying player on the outside. He also, I mean, he had everybody grittying for like a good 3 years. Like, I haven't seen it in a while, actually, and I'm glad. But like, remember like the Mike Gesicki gritty? Like, we had, like, it became a phenomenon, the gritty.
Yeah, the gritty outstayed it welcome. Like, the gritty lasted for maybe 4 years. Crazy. And 3 of those were too long, all because of Justin Jefferson.
Like, there's always fads in the NBA, I mean, the NFL or sports in general. Like, I remember when Cam Newton had the year where he had everybody dabbing. And the dab was such a smooth move. Like, I used to love hitting that one in the club here and there. Like, you know, but look at how you just laughed it off.
Yeah.
The dab was so smooth.
You hit the dab in the club? I thought it was more like an internet joke.
No. It became a joke once, you know.
You're talking about the dance move, the dab, right?
Yes, the dab.
Okay.
The dab. I'm not going to do it. I refuse to do it.
Do it right now.
Okay, I'll do it.
You want to hit the dab?
You know I want to do it. Okay, if you're watching on YouTube or at Theo Speaking, I'm going to hit the dab. This will be the last time in my life. I'm 31 years old. I have a grill and an apron. I am past this point in my life, but since C-Cat queued me up to do it.
What's a song you dab to?
You really could dab to any song. It's kind of like a punctuation that you hit on the beat. You know what I'm saying? So do you want to give me some music here? Do we have anything in here?
All right.
Give me, let's see. What do we have on top, on tap right here? I'm going to give my dab. You have time to get, okay. Yeah.
You can do a dab to the left or the right?
I can do a little bit. I'll get it to the right. Am I in frame?
Yeah, you're in frame.
Okay, I'm doing a dab here. This is not good for radio, but it's great for YouTube at Theo Speaking.
Oh, that's gross.
That was pretty good. If you haven't seen the dab, you're tucking your forehead into your elbow. It's a bad dance, right? It became a little bit too, let's just say, gentrified. And that's the same thing that happened to the gritty. All right. When we started doing purposefully bad gritties, when grown adults, I think it was Adam Schefter.
Oh.
Adam Schefter got ahead of the gritty. It became something that outgrew its original intention and its purpose. And the dab, though, if you remember, it only lasted that one MVP cam year before it died out. The gritty lasted like a solid 2.5 seasons.
Because no one stepped up and replaced it.
Yeah.
Like, we're looking for something, right? We're not hitting the folks anymore, but the gritty came in to hitting replace the folks.
Hitting the folks was actually kind of hard too, bro. That was another good one. See, but the thing is, C-Cat, you're laughing at all. Like, I remember when these things were very fun to do and they were really enjoyable and it was a community. And then it just became, when it gets too mainstream, bro, like it gets a little ugly. It gets a little ugly. But who is the best non-quarterback in football? Am I off base right here by going Justin Jefferson? We're going to bring in Mike Tannenbaum here, a former NFL GM and current NFL insider for ESPN and for Theoretically Speaking. He'll give his opinion on this. But C-Cat, as you look around the league, you have your Nick Bosa's of the world. I even had somebody submit to me on Instagram that Josh Allen was
the best non-quarterback.
Maybe they're talking about the Josh Allen on the Jaguars. I don't know. He had a major payday this offseason. Maybe it's because he runs and makes himself he puts his body in harm's way like you wouldn't expect a quarterback to do, but his name was floated as well. When you think about best non-quarterback in the NFL right now, C-Cat, first name that comes to mind.
Easily Micah Parsons, because he could play anywhere not in the secondary on defense and hold his own at his position. I think Micah Parsons, hands down, is the best non-quarterback football player in the NFL.
Now, the pushback to the Micah Parsons conversation is how little he's come up in Cowboys playoff games since he's been in the league. And you can't obviously blame a win or a loss in the NFL in the playoffs on an edge rusher, but when you are the best player on your team and you're the best defender out there on the field, and every time you step out there, you should be the guy that the offense or the defense is game planning against, you expect him to put up better numbers in the playoffs. He hasn't done that so far, but he is young in his career, and he is an absolute monster when he is on.
I guess so, but I think that was almost an entire organizational failure, really, with the Cowboys in all of those playoff shortcomings where you can't really point at your guy on the edge like you can your quarterback when blaming a loss on him.
Well, we know that Justin Jefferson has never been the reason for a loss for the Minnesota Vikings. In fact, he's powered them to wins in spots where it looked impossible. We were talking before the show, C-Cat, about that immaculate catch he had against the Bills on that fourth down that we think maybe is the greatest catch in NFL history if you take out context of playoffs and whatnot. That gets like to be an interesting debate. But is Justin Jefferson, regardless of how incredible that play was, the best non-quarterback in football? We ask you on the Baptist Health Hotline, 888-760-3776, 888-760-3776. Who is the best non-quarterback in the NFL on this Duffy's MVP Monday? And now, one thing about the NFL contracts that's so funny to me, too, is people are kind of getting all over their skis and they're getting excited and whatnot that Justin Jefferson's getting 4 years and $140 million. Like, that's Jordan Poole money in the NBA. That's like role player negative on the plus minus box score sheet money in the NBA. Jordan Poole was top five in one category this past year for the Washington Wizards. If you don't know who Jordan Poole was, the former Golden State Warrior who went to the Wizards and signed a big four-year, $140 million contract. He was top five in, well, lowest field goal percentage.
No.
He was like 50-something in scoring, and all he was known for in Golden State was being a bucket getter. That dude has a four-year, $140 million contract in the NBA, whereas Justin Jefferson, who is maybe en route to becoming, if not the best receiver of all time, like a top five guy at that position, same contract. And you ask me if the NBA or the NFL is the tougher sport to get into, I guarantee you if Justin Jefferson or anybody of his likes could play basketball instead of football, they would sign up today, immediately.
It's a hard argument to combat. Yeah. I'll put it that way.
Duffy's Sports Grill, MVP Monday today. Who is the MVP of the weekend? And as we talk about Justin Jefferson and how much money he just put into his bank account, well, my first candidate for the Duffy's MVP of the weekend, it actually goes to a league that is searching to try and pocket more bills as well. I'm going, well, no, not the NBA. Not the NBA.
You got the WNBA music on here?
I don't have the WNBA music on here. We're talking WNBA right here. How about to get the MVP chance? Let's get some MVP chance in here. My first Duffy's MVP candidate, the Chicago Sky guard, Kennedy Carter. And if you don't know who I'm talking about, it's probably because all the headlines just say Caitlin Clark when coming to the flagrant one foul that Kennedy Carter committed on Caitlin Clark on Saturday in the Commissioner's Cup when the Fever beat the Chicago Sky 71-70. Why do I give it to Kennedy Carter? Why do I give it to a player who did a non-basketball play and a foul that was egregious, but it wasn't as big of a deal as everybody's trying to polarize you about? Well, specifically for one reason. It has us all talking about the WNBA. And isn't that the point in the first place? C-Cat, if I told you that the Indiana Fever came into the game with, what, two wins, would that have even rang a bell? When's the last time we talked Caitlin Clark or the WNBA since her debut?
Not too much. It did not ring a bell at all.
It hasn't happened. And I know that what Kennedy Carter did was a bit foul, but she was penalized for that. And if nobody summed it up better, and nobody sums up the impact that Kennedy Carter had for the WNBA better than the fact that when I was watching First Take this morning, I saw something that was unprecedented. More so than Justin Jefferson's contract. More so than a foul on a rookie that looks like she's roughing things up. I saw Monica McNutt leave Stephen A. Smith speechless on First Take. That is incredible. That is what Kennedy Carter created. That's why she's an MVP candidate. And take a listen earlier on First Take. Again, the first time ever, Stephen A. Smith, the man of a billion words, many of them I don't know, I have to look them up, left speechless by something Monica McNutt said.
Kennedy Carter's behavior is not indicative of the entire league. We are still talking about competition where you are allowed to get a little extra elbow in if you are competing and you do it within the parameters of the game. The game is physical. Caitlin is helping to grow the league. These women understand that, but she cannot be babied as a rookie. That's all I'm at.
All right.
Who talks about the WNBA? Who
Here
talks
comes.
About women? Who talk about women's sports more than the more than First Take?
Stephen A., respectfully, with your platform, you could have been doing this 3 years ago if you wanted to.
Wow.
All right, we gotta go. To, you guys.
So did you?
You know you're my guy, but
who does more for than
Stephen A., I'm talking to you.
Ooh.
I'm talking to you.
Wow.
Don't do that. I'm talking to you about the power that you have.
Okay.
I'm talking to you.
Okay.
You're my guy, but I'm talking to you.
Guys.
When Monica McNutt speaks, apparently even Stephen A. just shuts up and listens. That's my Duffy's MVP first candidate for the MVP of the weekend, Kennedy Carter, for getting us talking about the league. A man that's going to jump in here and set us straight on NFL talk is Mike Tannenbaum. He always joins us on Mondays, the former NFL GM. He's going to jump in here and talk to us about the great dilemma in the NFL today. Wide receivers, to pay them or not to pay them? Mike T answers that when we come back. That's C-Cat. I'm Theo Dorsey. We're Theoretically Speaking on ESPN 106.3.
Live from the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios, Theo Dorsey is Theoretically Speaking, streaming live on YouTube. Here's Theo Dorsey.
It's a Duffy's MVP Monday, and one of our candidates is going to have to come from those Florida Panthers who punched their ticket to the Stanley Cup Final for the second straight year. Shout out my guy, Bill, who's been telling me, talk Cats, talk Cats. We're talking puck, and matter of fact, we'll likely be at game one Saturday to see the Panthers take on the Oilers in the Stanley Cup Finals. It's no accident that they're back. I mean, that team is built to last. And this year, I'm hoping that they're built to actually bring home the big trophy. Speaking of accidents, car accident, truck accident, slip and fall. Mark Anajar and Glenn Levine. Anajar and Levine, accident attorneys. They are here to fight for you because they do not get paid unless you do. They'll fight to get you that maximum compensation you deserve. Call Anajar and Levine for your free consultation. Don't just settle for any attorney. Demand Anajar and Levine. Don't sit around and leave it to chance. That's the Anajar and Levine difference. It takes just one phone call to take back control of your life. So take back control of your life. Call 1-800-747-FREE. That's 1-800-747-3733. They're the best in the biz. Also the best in the biz when it comes to breaking down NFL contracts, hot takes on the league, and just football and sports talk in general. Our friend Mike Tannenbaum, who joins us on a Monday on Theoretically Speaking. Mike T, how's it going?
Theo, how are you? You have a nice weekend?
I had a great weekend. In fact, I was on the grill. I got some grilled salmon up, got some grilled chicken up. I'm trying out my new Traeger. I'm like a week and a half in, and you know what? I have a promising future as a grill master. Do you ever touch up on the grill yourself?
You know, I'm like a third round pick, you know, like I'll have like once in a while, like pretty good performances, but all in all, like I'm pretty replaceable.
Are you a gas grill, pellet grill, or charcoal?
No, I gotta go gas. You know, yeah. I gotta, you know, control the controllables. Like let the elements heat up there and let me concentrate on the task at hand.
Right. Well, you have so many other responsibilities as well. So I respect the gas move. Just do not tell Chris Canty from Unsportsmanlike. Apparently, he does not respect gas grill men. One thing that I can respect right now in the NFL is guys getting paid specifically at the wide receiver position. Am I off track here, Mike T? Wide receiver has now separated itself as the number two most important position in football based on the way that GMs drafted in the first round and the fact that Justin Jefferson just reeled in $35 million a year from the Vikings.
Yeah, it's interesting you bring that up, Theo. We talked about that with Greeny on Get Up this morning, which is, you know, when you look at the economics, Justin Jefferson went by Nick Bosa as the highest paid non-QB, which, look, if you and I were running a team, of course we want Justin Jefferson on it, but you can replace receivers, you know, 7-1 the first round this year alone. So you certainly can make the argument possibly that, hey, what's a harder position to find? Like, if I'm a Cowboys, for example, I'm still paying Micah Parsons before CeeDee Lamb.
That's a good point right there, because this is why I like what the Minnesota Vikings did. Not only did they pay Justin Jefferson at the same time that they picked an edge rusher in the first round, they picked a quarterback in the first round, so they have those guys on rookie contracts if they pan out for the next 4 or 5 years. They did it before the Dallas Cowboys could pay CeeDee Lamb and before the 49ers could either move or pay Brandon Ayuk. So it seems like one of those deals where you're keeping your franchise superstar. You're also putting those GMs in a tougher spot because the price has to go up now for both CeeDee and Ayuk, right?
I think so. And candidly, if I was Dallas, I still don't know what I'm waiting for because I know that Justin Jefferson is going to get a massive deal. So I'm totally with you. It just doesn't make sense to me, like, why Dallas is waiting. I think their price is going up. Same thing for Ayuk. I think the big winner, I think where this market really tops out for the foreseeable future is going to be Ja'Marr Chase. Mm-hmm. I think he's going to slot in right above his LSU teammate, Justin Jefferson.
Love that call. Mike Tannenbaum joining us here on Theoretically Speaking, talking wide receiver contracts. The latest one to sign one today, Justin Jefferson, 4 years, $140 million. $110 million of that guaranteed. It's the most of any non-quarterback in NFL history. Mike T, when you look at the way that this Vikings team is now constructed going forward for the next 2 or 3 years, how much more fondly do you look on the fact that they walked away from Kirk Cousins, and again, they get back up in the first round to get themselves an edge rusher? Because if you're going to pay a guy like Justin Jefferson $35 million a year, you have to get cheaper in other spots to afford to keep him at that number, right?
Yeah, no, that's right. And look, now their window, you know, hopefully they hit on, you know, J.J. McCarthy, and their window's open where, you know, they can afford some veteran players, because, you know, the quarterback's going to go from about, you know, $6 million a year, $7 million a year to whatever that number is going to be in 3 years, $60 million plus. So you do have a savings, and now is your window to try to get deal done. And I do applaud them for going up to getting Dallas Turner.
When you look at what they're paying Justin Jefferson now for the Minnesota Vikings, it feels like, because he's one of those players that you can say Kevin O'Connell can build an offense around. You can structure a lot of things around having Justin Jefferson as a guy that can line up anywhere and create mismatches. His APY, right, his annual per year around $35 million, that's a big cap hit for a wide receiver. I'm curious to you, though, because the Dolphins just paid two wide receivers nearly $60 million a year in Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle. They also have the Tua bill that they're going to have to foot. Which position would you rather be in right now? The Vikings, who have one guy at $35 million. You got Jordan Addison on the rookie contract and your quarterback on a rookie contract. Or the Miami Dolphins, who are going to be paying two guys about $30 million a year on the outside at wide receiver. And what we're hearing is Tua Tagovailoa still likely going to get a contract extension upwards of $50 million this year.
Yeah, you always want to be on a rookie contract when you can. I mean, that's just league-wide. You know, I think the best example was, you know, Patrick Mahomes. You know, once he signed, you know, they had to move on from, you know, a bunch of players, most notably, you know, Tyreek Hill. You know, you just saw Buffalo move on essentially from their secondary, both safeties, you know, corner and Tre'Davious White. So, you know, your best window, Theo, is when you can hit on a rookie quarterback. And again, depending on where you are, the math is somewhere between saving, you know, $45 to $50 million a year per year, which is, you know, at least three or four good football players.
We're going to find out real soon about how good your guy J.J. McCarthy is with the Vikings, right? Having an offensive-minded head coach like that, and him keeping the core, that receiving core that they have in Minnesota. Like, how soon do you feel like we'll get a good gauge on how good he can be in the league?
Yeah, you know, well, I think unfortunately we're all in this like instant evaluation period. But he'll play, I would think, sooner than later. I wouldn't be surprised to see Sam Darnold start on opening day, but I think, you know, by Halloween, the latest, we'll see, you know, J.J. McCarthy play.
Mike Tannenbaum joining us here on Theoretically Speaking on a Duffy's MVP Monday. Mike T., I have to ask you, you were in a position where you've brought many rookies into NFL locker rooms and also put them out there on the field to compete. Can you remember any rookie? I mean, it's not going to be similar to what Caitlin Clark is going through in the WNBA right now, but can you remember any rookie that drew a bit of either resentment, or you saw other players going at them harder, either in training camp or during the regular season when they went out there and played guys with other jerseys on? Maybe not similar to Caitlin Clark's experience, but just guys attacking at a rookie that has a name or a bit of a pedigree coming into the league.
Yeah, you know, it's funny, like, you know, rookie quarterbacks, I think, do get bounced around, you know, a little bit. You know, will we see that a little bit with Caleb Williams? You know, maybe. You just don't see that as much. I know what you're talking about. I do think rookie quarterbacks sometimes do, you know, they are a little bit entitled. To be candid, I think Zach Wilson kind of went through that, because he said some things that I think, you know, Zach Wilson seems like a great guy who just said some things that were just off, you know, and you lose your teammates, and, you know, other opponents notice it. But I think in this day and age, you see less of that in the NFL.
Right, right. And then the last one here for you, Mike T., is there any chance that CeeDee Lamb or Brandon Ayuk end up eclipsing what Justin Jefferson just got from the Minnesota Vikings, either on annual per year or total guarantees, which blew A.J. Brown out of the water? Do you see that in their foreseeable future, or do you think, again, it's Ja'Marr Chase that has the best chance here?
Yeah, I think Ayuk and, you know, CeeDee Lamb are really good players, but I think Justin Jefferson is clearly better. I think it's going to be Ja'Marr Chase that is the one that eclipses it, and I think we'll see that, you know, in the coming months, you know, maybe next offseason. But, you know, again, if I'm the Bengals, I want to get this thing done, you know, sooner rather than later.
Love it. Mike T, enjoy yourself. Also, maybe brush up on those grill skills, man. I might have you. I'm working on some new recipes, so I might share those with you going forward.
All right. That sounds great, Theo. Thank you.
My guy, Mike Tannenbaum, thank you so much for joining us here on Theoretically Speaking, always brought to you by Eisner Ampner. When Mike T drops some football knowledge on us, and we always love it on a Duffy's MVP Monday. Speaking of our Duffy's MVP Monday, C-Cat, we already have Kennedy Carter of the Chicago Sky. Do you have a submission for MVP of the weekend?
Bear with me here because I'm a giant New York Yankees fan.
So take
that with a grain of salt, you listening in the car, you viewing on YouTube at Theo Speaking. But it's really simple for me. I sat through a weekend of watching New York Yankees baseball out on the West Coast, and my Duffy's MVP candidate for MVP of the weekend, it is the combination of Juan Soto and Aaron Judge. So I have named this player Erwan Jodo. Erwan Jodo. The combination of Aaron Judge and Juan Soto. Look at these numbers. 12 for 22, the combination of the two this weekend, combined for 12 RBIs. These guys are absolute freaks. Juan Soto hit a go-ahead two-run home run almost into McCovey Cove in San Francisco yesterday to give the Yankees the win. Got to go with Erwan Jodo.
First off, I love the nickname that you came up with there, right? If they were like a celebrity couple, that would be on the New York Post headline. Secondly, just as a non-baseball guy that doesn't pay enough attention, when you say it, is it RBIs or is it RBI?
So it runs batted in is
right.
What that stands for.
So
you don't need to put the S at the end. RBI.
You said RBIs.
Yeah, I probably said it wrong. It rolls off the tongue
it
easier
does.
When you put an S.
It's much better with an S. You know what? And you know what? All those unwritten rules in baseball, that's why it's so stuffy. How about we just all go with RBIs? If you want to watch some good RBIs from the Miami Marlins in Lone Depot Park where they put on a show, then you're going to want to have to pull up. You're going to want to have to pull up and see it in person. Marlins.com/tickets. That's how you get your hands on the best baseball in the Sunshine State. The Miami Marlins. If you want some Fiesta Fridays, you want some Friday plans, maybe you and the boo, y'all can go to a ballpark that's air controlled. We're in South Florida. How many places you go that has some nice blasting AC for you? Keep it nice and cool. And on Fridays, you got $5 beers, fiery 305 eats, and a post-game Miami party.
That might be the baseball. Only $5 beer in Miami. In Lone Depot Park.
Might be.
On a Friday especially?
It's got to be the only one. And then they got Legacy Saturdays as well as just tickets throughout the week. So come and join the Miami Marlins all season long at Lone Depot Park. All season long. And you can taste the flavors of the 305 and enjoy some good baseball with some friends. Get your tickets today at marlins.com/tickets. C-Cat. I don't want to insert myself as a Duffy's MVP of the weekend candidate, but damn near I am close.
Ooh.
Because what I did this weekend, it was life-altering, life-changing, and I would say almost even life-saving for my wife, Ashley. She's beautiful. She's wonderful. She's so smart. But there was one tip I gave her, one thing I helped her with that literally could have saved her life. We'll talk about that when we come back. C-Cat. Theo Dorsey. Also, tap back in. That Mike Tannenbaum interview was great. Anywhere you get your podcast, Theoretically Speaking, to hear that back if you just missed it. We had Mike Tannenbaum on. He was amazing. Tap in on the podcast. We'll come back. I'll tell you how I saved my wife's life this weekend on Theoretically Speaking.
Live from the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios, Theo Dorsey is Theoretically Speaking. Streaming live on YouTube, here's Theo Dorsey.
I absolutely love this. I'm so grateful to be able to share our time with you here on Theoretically Speaking. Me and C-Cat here, kicking it with you till 6, episode 38. Episode 38 of this thing, man. I'm in love with it. I'm also in love with my air conditioning unit at home. You want to know why? Because it's running well. And I know it's running well because I am an EDS air conditioning and plumbing gold member. When you're a part of that gold plan, you get 2 annual checkups. And I actually just recently had one with my guy, Randy. Randy, who he and I, both University of Miami Hurricane football fans, we bonded on that. We also bonded on the fact that he was able to get me what I needed to make sure my air conditioning was back running. I had a little bit of a hiccup this summer. And it happens to us all, especially when these hot summer months start to hit. You get into the Mays and the Junes of the world. That doesn't just mean showers out here in South Florida. It also means the temperatures keep ticking up and ticking up and ticking up. And if you want a trained comfort specialist, and it's hard to stop a train, and if you want a reliable company that's been doing it, family owned and operated since 2006, EDS Air Conditioning and Plumbing is the way to go. EDSAirConditioning.com. It's so easy to set appointments with these guys. I mean, literally this morning, I was on the phone all day trying to get an appointment with my internet provider. With EDS, I just hop online and boom, it's done. EDSAirConditioning.com, an easy way to get locked in. C-Cat, how did you spend your weekend this past weekend? I know you were watching the Yankees. What? Who'd they beat this weekend in the
Giants
series?
They kicked the crap out of them, yeah.
You were tweeting up a storm about the Yankees. I'm like, this dude really watches all 162. He's a real fan. I commend you for that. How else were you spending your weekend?
Dude, a whole lot of couch surfing, and I was looking forward to my grocery store trip on Sunday. Like that's a level of doing nothing I had going on this weekend where it was, I know I'm going to the grocery store 4 p.m. on Sunday. So
absolutely.
Not much.
I love that for you. I love a good lazy weekend where, and I'm not saying that in a derogatory way. I hope you didn't take it that way.
No, not taken.
A good lazy weekend where you get to kick back and chill after a fine week of work. We put out some great shows of Theoretically Speaking, so it was well-deserved. And for you, for Questionable Call with Josh Cohen, which again, hop on YouTube, subscribe to my guy's show, doing some awesome work as well. So you deserve that kickback this weekend. My weekend, I spent doing a little bit of work, but also I had my wife come up with a little bit of a sickness. So I was in care mode this weekend. It was a sinus thing. It was congestion. It was headaches. It was like flu-like symptoms for my wife, Ashley, this weekend. So I was in full care mode. And I knew it was serious because we were supposed to go watch the Garfield movie this past weekend. And we were going to eat some lasagna, go watch some Garfield. And she canceled on those plans because her head was ringing so much and she needed some help. So here's the part, though, because I told you, C-Cat, before the show, I literally saved my wife's life. She was in serious danger of accidentally overdosing with medicine.
No.
When you are a C-Cat, when you are sick, how sick do you need to get before you actually result to actually taking some of those hard medicines like the Mucinexes, the Theraflus, and whatnot?
Scale of 1 to 10, I got to be at least an 8. I kind of resist until I know, no question.
I'm similar in that way. I do a lot of vitamin C, then I'll drink a lot of water, and then if it's really that bad, then yes, I'll start taking pills. I don't like the way they make me feel. My wife, she is, the moment she gets a sniffle or a sneeze or anything, she's right to where is the DayQuil? Where is the NyQuil? Where is the Benadryl? She's right on it, right? And I'm not mad at that because you want to knock the symptoms out. Herein lies the problem, though, C-Cat. Are you familiar with the brand Theraflu?
I'm not.
So Theraflu comes in many different forms. One of the forms it comes in, and it's supposed to knock out flu-like symptoms, is like a tea packet. And you can buy these tea packets of Theraflu, and you mix it into your hot water, you stir it up like tea, and you drink it. It is a medicine, though. It has some of the same ingredients that a pill would have or some DayQuil liquid would have. My wife thought that Theraflu in the tea form was just tea, right? She didn't think there was any medicinal value to it. She thought it was just tea. So she was gearing up, and apparently she has done this before, to both take medicine, like hardcore medicine, to clear her system out, and have a couple cups of tea, which was actual Theraflu, which was more medicine. So we're talking 3 or 4 times the dosage likely she was gearing up to put in her body. And I was the one to stop her. I was the one to put the guardrails up and say, hey, whoa, 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 whoa. Watch out with those packets of Theraflu. That is actually medicine, not just some nice, warm, what kind of tea do you like? Ginger tea. I stopped all of that, C-Cat. Am I a hero? Am I at least a candidate for Duffy's MVP of the weekend from stopping my wife from overdosing on medicine because she thought Theraflu packs were tea and not actual medicine?
I think you're giving yourself a little bit too much of a pat on the back. I think you did a great thing, and like it was very strong of you. You're her husband. I would hope you'd look out for her. But I feel like this is an act that somebody else says that you were so great and you did this. Yeah. I'm so proud of you. Not I'm so great.
How would you know about it if I didn't tell you?
I don't know. Maybe try to spread the rumor to other people around the office so that I organically bring it up. It sounds weird you bringing it up.
Well,
I
want to beat my chest. All right, I'm 3.5 months in the marriage, and you know, it was a good attaboy, and I wanted to do it. And I'm sorry, I got too anxious.
Hey, great job, Theo. Yeah.
Thank you, C-Cat. That's all you had to say. Also, another thing, you know what? I'm feeling like traveling now because she's a little bit over her sickness. You see, Kat, you're in good spirits and well-rested from a good weekend of rest. So how about we hop on the bus and have our annual get around? I get around. What you mean you don't know? Round and round. I get around. The get around, actually not annual, it's daily. I don't know why I said that. What feels like an annual tradition is the Kaiser University Seahawks bringing in championships left and right. The Kaiser University flagship campus presents to you this get around as we go from the hot topics of sports all throughout the nation on our theoretically speaking bus. And yeah, champions is what the Kaiser University Seahawks do, and they hail from that flagship campus. I'm talking 22 national championships under the Kaiser Seahawks belt. You go into that gym, you see nothing but red banners hanging. All those banners representing national titles, including back-to-back national championships in men's lacrosse, 3 straight NAIA women's swimming and diving titles, and the reigning NAIA football champions from this past season. Get the latest on Kaiser Seahawk athletics at KUSeahawks.com and see how they're defending the beach. I'm a big fan of, like, hashtags for sporting teams, and there's this hashtag, Defend the Beach.
Next stop, Atlanta, Georgia. The 2025 College Football Hall of Fame ballot was just released. Headlined by first-time candidates Nick Saban, Urban Meyer, along with Aaron Donald, Mark Ingram, and Manti Te'o.
I'm so happy for all involved. I still think that the fight to get Howard Schnellenberger, legendary former FAU coach, the late great Howard Schnellenberger, into the College Football Hall of Fame, that push still needs to be made. But, you know, it's great to see Nick Saban walk right off the field into the Hall of Fame here. And also, this is just a little flex. I still remember, like, 2 or 3 weeks after he announced, or probably less than that, a week or so after he announced his retirement, I got to meet Saban at a golf tournament, and he said what's up to me, and he shook my hand. So you know what? You have my vote, Nick.
Next stop, 305 Miami, Florida. Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame center Alonzo Mourning underwent surgery to remove his prostate after a diagnosis of stage 3 prostate cancer.
Yeah, Mourning told ESPN this today, and the reason I wanted to bring this up is men's health gets put on the back burner way too often. We're too tough of guys. C-Cat, we were just talking about how it takes so much for us even to take medicine. Men, please get checked. It can be such a benefit, not just to yourself, but your family and loved ones. And I'm so glad that Heat lifer, Heat legend, Alonzo Mourning was able to find this in time. And again, stage 3 prostate cancer, that takes folks out. I'm glad to hear that this is good news around Alonzo Mourning. Prayers up to him and his family that he stays cancer-free.
Next stop, move a little bit north from Miami, go to Sunrise, Florida, where the Florida Panthers didn't touch the Prince of Wales trophy after taking down the Rangers for a spot in the Stanley Cup final. Here's what head coach Paul Maurice had to say to Barkov. Rumors floating about whether he told him to not touch it or to touch it.
Two things quick. Barky just revealed that he defied you last year and touched the Prince of Wales trophy.
I think Sasha's got a pretty good sense of humor. I don't remember. All I know is there's a picture somewhere here and carrying it down the hallway. So at that point, I had to say I told him to, right? Yeah, it has nothing to do with anything, but we play our silly games.
Quickly, C-Cat, do you believe in these sports superstitions like this, not touching the ECF trophy?
No, I don't believe it. Yeah. I want to grab that trophy. You earned it. You won it.
Me neither.
Celebrate it for the night.
But you know what? If it works for them and they win this year, they will never, ever touch the Prince of Wales trophy again. We need to get to break.
Yeah.
Let's go ahead and get to break. Before we do, my last Duffy's MVP candidate is Sergei Bobrovsky. Speaking of those cats, MVP. MVP. Yeah, he allowed just one Rangers power play goal. The Panthers take down the Rangers in 6, and Bobrovsky, he turned aside 23 of 24 shots on goal in Saturday's 2-1 victory. Our last Duffy's MVP candidate, so we got Sergei Bobrovsky of the Panthers. We got whoever the heck that combo was from the New York Yankees with you, C-Cat.
Erwan Jodo.
Erwan Jodo, however you say that. And we got Kennedy Carter from the Chicago Sky. We give you the Duffy's MVP when we come back on ESPN 106.3.
Live from the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios, Theo Dorsey is theoretically speaking. Streaming live on YouTube, here's Theo Dorsey.
We have our poll results from Theoretically Speaking's on-air poll today, and the question was, who is the best wide receiver in the NFL today? The results are in. The options were Justin Jefferson, CeeDee Lamb, and Tyreek Hill. 63% goes to Justin Jefferson, who just signed that major deal for the Minnesota Vikings. 4 years, $140 million. He bet on himself. Last year, he turned down $28 million annually. This year, he signs a deal that's going to net him $35 million annually, the most all time. Our poll of the day brought to you by the Palm Beach County Supervisor of Elections, reminding you to vote. The Duffy's MVP of the weekend, it goes without a vote, but we had our three candidates. We have Kennedy Carter from the Chicago Sky. We have
Erwan Jodo
from the New York Yankees, and we have Sergei Bobrovsky from the Florida Panthers. And I give the Duffy's MVP of the weekend to Kennedy Carter. She helped the WNBA be driven to the top of all of the national shows. I mean, to her credit or not, she created what Pat McAfee did on his show to start things off, which was hella divisive and really denigrating, but he did since apologize. I have to give credit to Kennedy Carter where credit is due. She created storylines. A win or a loss wouldn't have done it. A quick shove. And, you know, for better or worse, we're talking WNBA basketball. Shout out Caitlin Clark and the rest of them. Duffy Sports Grill is a place you can go to watch some WNBA basketball. 80 or more televisions on every single location that you pull up to. In fact, I'm going to the Delray Duffy's on Wednesday to have a conversation with some football coaches. While we're there, we'll probably share some starters, some amazing starters like the mozzarella sticks. Amazing. You dip those things in the marinara sauce. It is a delectable you cannot go without. Duffy'sMVP.com to learn more about Duffy's Sports Grill. And remember, 2-for-1 drinks all day, every day. At Duffy's, our game is always home. I know who I want to take me home. Take me home. Our game is always on with Duffy's. We take you home on Theoretically Speaking, and I take you home with this. Presentation is everything. Last night after we were grilling, I knew my wife wouldn't really want a slice of apple pie. So I said, hey, would you like a cute slice of apple pie? And she said yes, and she loved it.
Wow.
Presentation's everything, people. The way you show it to people. Go in love, go in peace, go in joy. Freddie and Harry next on ESPN 106.3.